Although many public radio listeners may be unfamiliar with his name, they continuously hear the imprint of Bill Siemering, one of the guiding lights of public radio in America, the original program director of National Public Radio and the author of its lofty mission statement. Bill Siemering envisioned taking the microphone out of what he called the sterile studio and into the places where real people live and work. He fostered artistic creativity in using the rich medium of sound to tell stories. And most of all, in his soft-spoken Midwestern style, he advocated a broadcast system that would show common decency, a basic respect for individuals that could bring people together.
One of the great values of radio is its ability to bridge. You can bond with people who are similar, but then you can also bridge by going to different neighborhoods, going to places that you wouldn't ordinarily go. And that's what I believe that public radio could do.
Bill Siemering and his colleagues at NPR developed a new sensibility and a new sound for radio. It was put to the test on the very first broadcast of All Things Considered from Washington on May 3, 1971, a tumultuous day when anti-war protesters converged on the Capitol.
Rather than pulling in reports from all over town, we thought we might try to take you to the event, to get the feel, the texture of the sort of day it's been.
A handful of police officers has succeeded in clearing at least half of this roadway. Traffic is flowing again.
Now, how did you get here?
I came by boat on the Potomac River.
Is this your boat?
Yes. It's a one-man kayak.
Hearing from ordinary citizens, not just officials, was part of the idea. In the NPR mission and goals statement, Bill wrote that public radio will promote personal growth rather than corporate gains. It will regard individual differences with respect and joy rather than derision and hate, and result in a service to listeners which makes them more responsive, informed human beings and intelligent citizens.
1970 was when we were talking about it and writing that mission. And it was historically a time when there was a lot of division racially. There were few, if any, African Americans who were on television news or as journalists in print newspapers or on radio. Most of the information came with the white male voice of authority from New York or Washington telling us this is the way it is. And we didn't hear from real people. We didn't hear from people that were affected by the news. And it was kind of an unnatural, artificial sound. So we wanted to also have a variety of perspectives on things, that there wasn't a single truth, perhaps. People are operating their lives, they're behaving in ways based upon their perception of reality. And it may be very different, one from another. And it was really important to hear that, hear those differences. And it was important to hear people that had been marginalized, that were minorities, who were only seen in the news when there was crime stories and things of that nature. So those were some of the things that we incorporated. So I said in the mission statement that it would speak with many voices and many dialects, that it would reflect the pluralism that is America.
I know that giving people access, giving them a voice has been so important to you. How does giving people a voice make a difference?
It's very empowering. And they don't feel shut out. They feel that they are able to participate, that their views are heard by somebody. I've seen this overseas in my work in wherever I've gone, in developing countries in South Africa, Mozambique, Mongolia, Eastern Europe.